And I think the first thing to talk about, really dig into, firstly, welcome. Nice to see you. The first thing I think is AI agents in action. So real automation systems and tools delivering results for your clients right now. AI agents, everyone's talking about them, right? Everyone's talking about them. There's a lot of kind of hype around them. And firstly, I mean, like, what is an AI agent is probably the first thing to sort of start with before we dig into this. What is an AI agent then, Richard?
Yeah, thanks. Hi, it's good to see you again. What's the best way of describing it? So I try and take everything kind of out of AI and put it into more general terms for people. So for me, thinking about agents and all this is essentially thinking about additional people who are working for you. So I liken everything to sports. That's my background. So you're a manager of a football team. Yes, you've got the players on the pitch. That's your sales team, your customer service, your operations guys. But that manager has also got people who are scouting for him, going out doing scouting reports. He's got people who are doing data analysis of previous games, looking at the stats and the information. He's got physios. He's got all sorts of things around him or her that are enabling them to kind of have insights and gain knowledge and everything else. And all of those people effectively are agents. So if you don't have a physical person doing that, you can still kind of achieve the same end goal, but by setting up an AI agent to go and do that. So agents, I'm not keen on the word. I think it sounds wrong, but it's kind of like an AI helper to do a particular task for you. So you can train it. So this is where you get an AI agent who can write your emails. That's one. You can automate that. You can have people who automatically respond to emails coming in or customer complaints, or you've got chatbots that are talking. Each one almost is like a person you've trained, but not a real person, to respond to those individual units. So to take in the most kind of simplified version of it, think of it as an additional resource who you can basically go, I want you to complete these tasks. And obviously the great thing is they work for you 24/7, and they're cheaper than an actual real human doing that role. So for me, the key thing with agents really is kind of thinking about, what do I need as a leader to help me to lead better, or to think better, or to see patterns or anything like that better? Therefore, that's where I'm going to set my agents out to go and kind of gather that data, garner it, bring it back to me, so that I've then got time to look across everything that's happening in the business and give me a better kind of insight and ideas as to what's going on. But you could effectively, I mean, realistically, you're a one-man band or a five-man band. You could scale up to 200 agents, 300 agents off doing tasks for you. And it gives you such kind of leverage against bigger companies, or kind of how to grow without the huge amount of cost that you would have to grow from a resourcing perspective. And to give you an idea, really, I'm obviously building an AI tool at the moment for businesses, but I had a lovely chat with ChatGPT where we sat down and went, okay, let's work out what the future looks like if this is a success. And I said, how would you structure the team? How would you build it? What should we have? And it came back and said, if X, Y, and Z happens, you would need a team of 150 people. And this is kind of the breakdown. And I said, okay, that's great. That's a traditional company, but we're not in that world anymore. What if I wanted to achieve the exact same thing with only me in the business? Or you only add a person when it's absolutely necessary? And then it came back and went, that's a different way of thinking about it. Here's what I would do. And you can imagine it then listed out all these different agents that it would have: a sales agent, a marketing agent, a comms agent, all those roles where you could actually go, right, I can almost scale to the same size as a 100-person company without hiring anyone.
Right.
I probably was at some point, just to make sure that it's not hallucinating and going off in all different angles. But that's kind of the theory of using agents to support you in your business.
Right. And they're all very specific in the tasks that they do, right? Can you give some sort of examples of those?
Yeah,
apart
so
email and chatbots and stuff.
Yeah, they're quite boring, aren't they, now?
Yeah. Man, I've been talking about chatbots for like 15 years or something ridiculous. I know. You know?
Just as you thought
they're still, but they're still not. But the thing is they're still not being used properly. What do you think then? What are some of the ones that would be really useful if you were scaling as a CEO?
Yeah, so for me, it's kind of, like you said, thinking differently. It's not the emails and that. And I think I said before we started recording, I did a webinar recently, actually, where what I compared to was the dragons from Dragon's Den turning up in your office. And them sitting next to you and you going, oh, Deborah, can you take the minutes? And Peter, can you write me an email? You're kind of like, you just wouldn't do that. You would be looking at them and going, help me with my business, understand where we're at, what are the gaps, where are the opportunities? And that's where I think agents come in, because they can go off and find information. So there's a business club in the UK called the Entrepreneur Circle. The guy who runs it hammers every single day, you should do 90 minutes a day working on your business. That's his rhetoric. It's constant. And so many people are going, I don't have time. I can't do 90 minutes. I'm on the job. I'm out there doing stuff. So it's like, well, okay, if you can't do it, then you want to do competitor analysis. You want to understand what your competitors, whether that's local, national, global, what are they doing at the moment? We can set you an agent up that goes and gets that information and brings it back to you. And it can do really deep research, or it can just do kind of like quite high level general information. You can do market research. What trends are happening in the market? I was talking to a coffee company recently, and obviously there's been a big move into things like matcha, and teenagers now drinking coffee that tastes like grass for some reason. But that's a trend they might not have spotted. But you could have agents going, actually, have you noticed that Costa, Starbucks, all these people are now selling this kind of range of drinks?
Right.
What should we do? Is that an opportunity for us, or do we want to stay specialist? You can have ones that are going out doing sales information, going finding information from sales. You could hook a CRM in and go, I want to see my ideal customer persona for the last 6 months, how much they're spending, and then go off and find those agents for me. Go and find those businesses and companies for me. So each agent, you're kind of thinking, what would support me as a business owner or as a leader that's going to help bring back information and data that's really going to help me drive and grow my business? And it's a different kind of mindset to kind of the automation side of stuff, where it's, I just want to automate some tasks and I want to get those off my hands. You can do that and you can set automate. We've had automations for years. That was back in chatbot world when we're all talking about all the UiPath and all those guys that can automate all your processes. Now we're trying to be a bit smarter. So it's not just can we automate something, it's what can you show me about my business that I haven't seen or that I've missed? What patterns are there that I'm not noticing? What trends are happening? And effectively being able to sit back and in that 90 minutes now that you didn't have time for, you might not need 90 minutes, you might only need half an hour because all of that stuff's being brought to you. But immediately you're going, okay, this year I wanted to achieve X, we're currently at Y. It's now showing me all these things that are happening that are impacting me. Therefore, I need to kind of step up and grow and use that information and data. And I think that's where AI will start to go. It's almost about surrounding yourself with another 10, 20 people that are able to bring you bits of information. And that doesn't matter if you're at the top of the tree or the bottom of the tree, you can still have agents going off and helping you find stuff and relevant information. And it's all about making you better, whether that's you better as a person and what you do, or you better as in making your business better and helping it to grow better or more smoothly.
AI is rewriting the rules of business. For non-technical leaders, the risk of becoming obsolete is real. But you don't need to panic and you don't need to learn how to code. My name is Nat Skula. I'm an ex-IBM futurist, and after 500 interviews with global executives, I've built the definitive blueprint for career success and survival. Influential Visions shows you exactly how to stay irreplaceable when AI can replace pretty much anyone else. No complex theory, just proven strategies. Subscribe to Protect Your Professional Future and start your $1 trial to Monday Influencer at the link below. Your competitive advantage starts now. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And there are all these platforms where you can connect all these agents together, right? Like there are specialist platforms like Zapier and other ones where you can just connect securely, well, as secure as you can get, these agents together, right? But it all depends on how you build them, because you can build an agent inside of ChatGPT using a prompt, right? The same as Gemini. And then you can go in there every day and you can click a button and then it's going to give you what you told it to give you based upon the information that it's been delivering for the past day or so, or hour or so. So I think clearing that up is useful. Obviously, there are more industrial kind of platforms. There are more industrial agents that you can kind of plug in lots of huge data sets into, right? Because that's also an interesting thing. You know, once you start plugging the data in from multiple sources and then you start being able to interrogate it and kick it around and ask questions, like that is where, for me, like the value really, really is amazing. Because, you know, half of this stuff, we didn't have it. We couldn't do it about six months, maybe a year ago. You could do some things, but not so much. I think now you're completely right in what you say. Like the CEO has access to so much information. The question is asking the AI what it would recommend you do or recommend you use is most certainly, that's a wonderful way forward. I do that all the time. I'm like, okay, so I've got this. What do you recommend that I do now? And it's wonderful, but you still have to use your brain. You still have to question it. You can't blindly. I mean, if I'd have blindly followed the advice that Gemini gave me a few weeks ago, I wouldn't be talking about leadership in podcasts. So just be focusing on artificial intelligence. But then what happens when artificial intelligence becomes, you know, it's in everything? I mean, this is the point, right? It's becoming. Everyone has artificial intelligence. So then, like, what's the unique selling point, right? Like, this is something I've been talking about probably for 10 years, maybe, I would think, because AI is not new. This is what amazes me, is that so many people love to, you know, they've been looking at using AI for a month and they're like, oh, I'm an AI expert. Like, come on,
you're an AI expert.
Like you don't know anything about it and the history of it or anything. But so what are delivering really good results then, do you think, right now, like using these agents? What are the best results that you see that people are getting right now from using them?
You know what? I'm going to be semi-controversial, because I don't think there are huge amounts of what I would describe as successful uses at the moment, not that I've seen. And I know a lot of the work I do is local government still. I'm trying to get out of it desperately, but still doing consulting into local governments. I hope they're not watching this. but I do a lot of that. And you can imagine they're all just on Microsoft. So they've immediately just gone Copilot, and it's around transcribing and emails and things, and they're not getting any benefits at all. But that's been like the hype for the last 12 months, has been this massive efficiency drive, and everyone went down this route of we can be much more efficient and we can be better. And I love your viewpoint on the thinking side. I said to you previously, we may even touched it last time we spoke years ago. My favorite book is The Road Less Stupid, and it's all about thinking time, and it's how you create that thinking time. So for me, the best use cases are ones where you're enabling yourself to grow or to think as a person through having this information raised to you. And I agree with you. I still don't think we're at the point where when it says to me, you should do this, I look at that immediately and go, you're absolutely right. I should do that. And we know ChatGPT went through that period where no matter what you said to it, it came back, said, you're brilliant. You're the best person ever. No one else has ever thought of this. What a great idea. And then gave it through and you're like, oh, that's brilliant. I'm really good at this. And then you put it into Claude and it went, no, it's been done multiple times. So I think the shift and why I struggle a little bit to give you really good examples, but I think the shift will move from kind of that efficiency side, which is where people are currently looking, into the effectiveness side. And it's how do we use these tools to make us more effective at what we do, not make us necessarily quicker. So
right.
I look at myself and go, do you know what? I've been writing emails for 25 years. I can reply to someone who writes me an email. It takes me 3 seconds.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly.
I don't
right.
need someone else to write that for me. I've got that covered. But deep strategic thinking and being able to say, I've had this many customers this month. This is the throughput. This is the turnover. This is my ambition of what I want to achieve. Kind of give me some idea of where I should be going or what I should be doing so that I can then sit back and go, okay, based on what I'm doing, the AI is telling me this. Therefore, is that something I want to consider? And like you said, it's telling you, you should just do an AI podcast. You've gone, actually, no, that's not what this was
well,
about.
Well, I actually this thought it was a great idea. And then my mentor said, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So I,
and then I went back. That was interesting, because then I went back to the AI and I said, no. This is about artificial intelligence, leadership and development and management. And then it said, oh, actually, that's a good idea. I see many niches there. I'm like, literally, I was just so annoyed. But in terms of these AI agents, right, like I was chatting to someone the other day, he's pioneering an approach with cybersecurity whereby you're going to have 200,000 or 300,000 AI agents that are fighting against threats. So all the hackers get together, they put all these threats together, and they've got AI agents that are creating these threats. And then you've got a whole team of AI agents which are repelling them and shutting down your systems and stuff. And this has been in action for years, right? It isn't new, yeah? But the volume of AI agents and ways to shut down these technologies from being damaged is becoming far and far, far better, far more accurate. And I'm quite excited about that, because I think that the better security we can have, the safer the world is going to be, right? But in terms of like the delegation playbook, yeah, you've got an approach to identifying what CEOs should automate versus only what they can own. And you've kind of alluded to it, right, with like writing emails. And we talk about this a lot. Me and Steve talk about this a lot. I mean, for me, my punctuation isn't that good. So I like to use AI for my punctuation.
So, yeah, I think, so from a leadership perspective, if I go back to just kind of some of the coaching and mentoring I do as well, I'm going to go back to sport. And I basically have a white line on the ground, and that's the line that the manager can't cross anymore. So if you think about a football pitch, you've got players on the pitch who are doing things, that's your team. Your role effectively is to set them up to win the game. That's your job as the manager. So how are you going to do that? So A, we've talked about having that backroom staff that are able to support you and give you the information. But now I'm looking at my team and I'm thinking, okay, what can I do to support my sales guys? What can I do to support my customer service guys? what can I do to support the operations team? And then you can start looking at, okay, we want to achieve, let's say, make something up. We want to achieve 100% growth this year in sales, but I've only got a team of three in my sales team. Therefore, how do I make them as effective as possible in what they do? So you're kind of coming back to strategy of, we want to get to here. We're currently here. Here's a list of problems that are stopping us getting there. So how can we tick those problems off? So it might be they're spending too long on admin filling in the CRM. So, okay, we can build an agent that takes transcriptions from calls they're on, automatically uploads the details, moves them onto the next stage in the CRM system. We don't have enough good leads come in. Okay, we need to build some agents that are going out and scraping email addresses or finding leads or finding the right ideal customer personas, finding the right routes. And again, there's AI tools that do some of this anyway that you can buy. They're quite expensive, but it's always that case of, rather than kind of throwing AI at something, it's like find the problems that are stopping you from achieving what you want to achieve, and then work out if there's an AI agent role in helping you to achieve that. So it for me, everything comes back to kind of strategy and your plan and your tactics. What is it you want to do as a company? What's stopping you from getting there? Almost list out the problems. And if you talk to your sales guys, they'll tell you exactly what the problems are. And then you can go, okay, where does AI sit in this? Because if you can kind of go, here's AI tools, and you no longer have to log into your CRM because it's going to take everything and load you, your sales guys are going to love you and they're going to love the AI. If you throw AI at them, they're probably not going to use it, because they're not going to see the immediate benefits it gives them. And none of this is new. This is all what we were doing in digital transformation and change projects for the last decade or so. But I don't think enough time and effort is kind of given to sitting down and working out what the problem is that you're trying to solve, and then going, right, and where does AI fit? Rather than almost like, oh, I saw an advert the other day for AI that does slide decks, well, bought it for you. And by the time actually you've done a slide deck and having to rewrite it three times and edit it and everything else, you might as well have started again. But that was never a problem for the sales guys. They've already got those things. So it's just looking at it from a sensible angle of, if you know what you want to achieve and you know there's numbers against it, and even if they're hypothetical numbers, you can then start to work out what's stopping you from getting there. And strategy puts people off, because I think people think of it as being like a massive 50-page document that you spent years writing and stuff. But I go back to the Road Less Stupid book. There's a strategy in there from, I think it's Southwest Airlines in America. And it was almost one line, and it was, a plane on the ground makes no money. So everything you're doing as a company is, how do we get the plane back in the air? So you can sit down. So I personally would say, how do we get the plane back in the air within 30 minutes or within 45 minutes or within an hour? Because then you can break it down and go, okay, we've got pilots, we've got cabin crew, we've got baggage, we've got passengers, we've got ground crew. What are the blockers of each of those areas from hitting 45-minute turnarounds? And then you can kind of start to break them down and go, okay, the passengers, so we need them through the gates quicker. We need them through security quicker. We need the most efficient way of boarding them so that they're all in the right seats on the right time. We'll build stuff out that helps them do that. Cabin crew, they've obviously got a set of tasks they have to complete every time they get on a plane. But you're not coming at it from looking at an aeroplane and going, oh, we should do something here. Let's put some AI in. You're spending the time to sit down and go, as a business, we need to achieve X. And it might be anything from survival to tripling your growth or scaling massively. And then you work out what's stopping you from getting there. And the good thing, I think, with AI now is, previously some of the blockers you would have had would have been, when we get to that point, we need to hire someone. And hiring someone is $35,000 a year plus on costs and all the other bits, that's huge. Actually, we could deploy a couple of agents for $3,000 a year, $4,000 a year that can do the vast majority of that work. And that's where you can start to scale. But everything for me that you're trying to achieve or trying to do has to start from kind of where are we now? Where do we want to get to? And what's that bridge in the middle that's going to enable it to get there? And if you can figure that bit out, and that all comes from chatting to them, chat to your sales guys, chat to your customer success team, chat to your operations team, talk to your marketing teams, what are the problems? And then we can find where there's a solution or an agent to help you with that, rather than just seeing some adverts and going, oh, I went and bought X because it looked cool.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the culture piece is a huge one, and that's something that is responsible, I would say, for a lot of these AI failures. I mean, the failure rate of AI implementations is just ginormous. And also there are a lot of risks when it comes to GDPR, there's like the European AI Act, there are all these things are actually there, and they are potential pitfalls, and it's actually very dangerous to go into AI and use it, especially if you don't need it, because actually you might just decide, well, hold on a minute, I don't actually need to use AI, I have no need for it, because I'm just going to send out three emails that are going to go. And then if someone responds, then I'm going to reply myself personally, right? It's all dependent upon your business framework, isn't it? And your blueprint for how you do things, right? Because it's pointless just trying to just install it when you don't really need it. It's just a waste of money and a waste of time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Just a hype that you've jumped on.
Absolutely. And that leads into... that leads into the next thing. What do you think about the future of AI? Do you think that we're going to be sick of it? Do you think that it's damaging for people? Because I'll just give you a bit of background. I was reading MIT Technology Review probably a couple of months ago, and there's been a study that actually proves that using AI, and we're talking about using AI to write things, right, has actually basically created dumber people. So I thought that was quite interesting. I'm a bit worried about that, if I'm brutally honest. What do you think then about the future of AI in the next 3-4 years, 5 years? Because yeah, beyond that, we can't dig into beyond that, really. It's too far ahead.
I think the future could be amazing if it's used right and we learn from it. And you can talk about schools and them banning it, but if schools were responsible, they'd actually be going, yes, we are using it, but we're using it in a way where we're learning from it. You're going to learn about these subjects, but we're also going to learn what AI knows, how it tells you information, how it brings that, how it finds it, and why, therefore, you shouldn't necessarily just go, yes, I agree with everything you've just told me, and how you challenge that. And even that as a topic isn't brilliant at schools, is it? You can have teachers who just stand up and go, the world is flat, and all the kids go, oh, okay. You kind of like, you need to be in a mentality of questioning and checking. And I think that needs to happen more, and that can only happen through kind of educating people in the tools. I think, and I know a lot of people talk about the bubble, I think a bubble will burst, but I think it will burst for a lot of companies who have basically just skinned a layer on top of ChatGPT or something like that. I think all those models will get stronger and better at what they do. And therefore, just having something that sits over the top of it and presents it to you in a slightly different way is pointless. But I think there's huge amounts of use where you'll start looking at your business data, your company data, and using it to offer you insights and patterns and things that you wouldn't have spotted previously, that AI can literally blitz through in seconds and go, actually, here are some ideas. There will be some efficiencies. There are some tools I know that customers are using around payments, late payments, around things like subject access requests, even duplications and redacting. There's some tools that people are using for that are quite good. But I think it's gone massive. I think it will go back down small. And then I think you'll start to find that you're using the tools as almost like your assistants, your sidekicks, your helpers, more so than this big efficiency thing. It's an interesting time, but yeah, I think there'll be a bit of a implosion on a lot of the, I'm going to call them NAF tools that are out there, because there's a lot of them, the opportunity to almost start again and think about how we do everything differently, think about software differently, architecture, the technical architecture, all that stuff differently as well. So yeah, huge opportunities, but we need to get the kids actually using it, learning from it, rather than seeing it as a punishment tool. We use it as a something that enhances the knowledge, and you're doing kind of data analysis or prompt testing or theory testing at school and starting to learn how these tools work and knowing when it's giving you wrong answers, poor answers or anything like that, and challenging it to come back with, because that's the next generation that will come through with these tools kind of everyday usage.
I kind of look at the future in a positive half glass full kind of way. So, you know, thank you. I appreciate your time. And if people want to get you, they can go to sin-city.com. Is that right?
There is still, so sin-city.co.uk.
Aha.
Or if they're interested in a new AI tool, there's a straight sincityai.co.uk that's got information on the business tool that we're building.
Cool. And that's
S-Y-N-C-I-T-Y. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Nice to speak to you.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.